It's a lesson on understanding hope. There's handouts in the back outside the door there if you want one with fill-ins. All right, let's turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 13 tonight. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, please, in your Bible. If you want to move a little closer, if you can't hear me, please come up. Move a little closer. Can you hear me, John? Okay. I don't know if you even want this. This thing on the website, it's going to sound so bad. But this is actually the last verse we're going to look at tonight. We want to talk about this thing we call hope. This is usually a doctrine or a study that is not addressed enough in churches. We usually take on the world's meaning of hope when we talk about this thing called hope. I want to read here in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to come back to this verse. It'll be the last one we talk about. As I said, I hope you excuse my voice tonight. We've gone through a lot of illness this week. Well, the first thing on your handout there is the issue of what the world talks about when it uses the word hope. What's the meaning? What's the meaning that the word hope means to the world? Well, it actually focuses on things that are iffy. In other words, it takes the word hope and supplants it with the word chance. Things are iffy to the world. I hope I can win the lottery, $50 million or whatever it is. I hope that I have enough food in the house to feed that hungry mob coming over. I hope this or I hope that. And it's all chancy. It's all iffy. That's not what the Word of God is talking about when it uses the word hope. And we want to go through this tonight. And I'm going to give you, in the New Testament, I'm going to give you two different words that are used in different scripture passages. What I'd like you to do is write these things down in your handout. And you can take these and put them back in the verse so you have a clearer meaning of what it's talking about. In the Old Testament, this is under B here. And under the Old Testament, one of the major words in the Old Testament is the word tikvah, T-I-Q-V-A-H. Write it down, please. T-I-Q-V-A-H, tikvah. That's Hebrew. It actually means a cord. A cord, of course, attaches two different things. One thing here and something else over here. I believe the Israeli national anthem is called HaTikvah. It means the hope. Can you hear me, Carl? Okay, not very well, huh? But I'm sorry. It's the best I can do tonight. So the Old Testament uses this. This is a major use of the word found in the phrase HaTikvah, meaning the cord or the hope. All right, we want to go to the New Testament tonight and look at some usages of the word hope in the New Testament. New Testament uses the words el pis. This is the English equivalent of the Greek, okay? E-L-P-I-S, if you don't have it. El pis. E-L-P-I-S. And it uses elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O. E-L-P-I-Z-O. Did you get a handout? Okay. So you have elpis, E-L-P-I-S, and elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O. I want to bring this out to you because there's a richness in the Word of God that you can miss if you don't know these things. I'm not trying to supplant God's Word or anything like this. But the original language is very rich. So we have the New Testament uses of the word elpis and elpizo. So we want to take a look. Let's go to the fourth thing down here, number letter C, number four underneath it here. In Romans 8:25, and the Word of God tells us, but if we hope for what we see not, then with patience we wait for it. What's the word here? The word here is elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O. That's the English equivalent. I'm not going to give you the Greek. Epsilon, lima, pi, iota, sigma, and so forth. I'm not going to get into that for you. Elpizo. And what that means is to expect or confide. To expect or confide. Now, what does the word confide mean? It means to have confidence in something. If Carl calls Paul and tells him, okay, I'm going to come over today and fix your washing machine. What do you got an Armstrong washing machine? So Carl calls Paul and says, I'm going to come over and fix your washing machine. So Carl is going to hang up the phone or turn it off, telephone, yeah. And he's going to look expectantly for Carl to come over. Paul's over here, okay. For Carl to come over and fix his washing machine. That's what the word means. To confide or have confidence in something. That's not a chance, folks. That's not iffy. If you have confidence that something is going to take place or someone is coming to your home, we have confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back one day for us. We look for that because it's not a chance. It's not iffy. It's going to happen. It has to happen. All right. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the resurrection chapter. By the way, we just celebrated the Lord's resurrection. This should build hope in our faith. This would mean that we have a living hope, not well, I sure hope the Lord comes back. No. He's coming. Because God cannot lie. Do you realize if God could lie just that much, the whole of creation just fall apart? It means he can't do what he said he could do. He's a liar. So it has to happen. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's elpizo. as to expect or have confidence in this life, in other words. All we have is this life and so forth. That's nonsense. We don't have it. We know that it goes far, far beyond that. One thing that illustrates this so much tonight is the fact that the Hymers have gone up to Oklahoma for Mrs. Hymer's father's funeral. Pastor Hymer preached the graveside service today after the memorial. Why do we do that? Why don't we just take the remains and shove them away? Get rid of them? Because there's more to it than that. And we don't have to take a chance and say, well, I hope there's more to life than just this and so forth. The Word of God assures us that there's more. When humans pass off from this life, they don't just evaporate like spoofle dust or something, get blown off with the wind. No. Humans will be for all eternity in one place or another. So we have these things. We have 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It's Elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O, to expect or confide. The next one, number 6 down here, Philippians 2:23. In Philippians 2:23, Paul tells the church at Philippi, or Philippi, him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. There's that word hope again. Well, if things work out okay, I guess I'll send him along, you know. If everything's cool, man, you know, I'll send him along. I'll send him to you. That's not what it's talking about. Because the word here, again, means to expect or confide. To have confidence, in other words. I'm of the opinion and the belief that there's nothing that happens in the Christian life outside of God's doing, except for sin. That's the only thing that he doesn't control. Sometimes he lets us burn our fingers on the stove, you know, until we grow up a little bit. But everything in the Christian life is ordered by the Lord. The whole Christian life is supernatural. You think about it. From the new birth on to the end of life, and we go to be with him. The whole thing is supernatural. Everything. I've seen God do things in my life that are just uncanny. And Helen has too. Whether it's a need that we have, or being able to witness to someone and see the fruit of that witnessing, someone being saved. Every one of you can have the same thing. We don't have super Christians. We just have Christians that want to be disciples and others that need to grow up a little bit. So we have this passage in Philippians 2:23. Now we want to go to number 7 down here, which is 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Peter 1:13 tells us, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Well, you know, in the old days, when they ran a race and so forth, they would gird up their loins. The men would take the robes and pull them up between their legs and tuck them into that belt, that sash that goes around the waist, so it wouldn't get in the way of running. Otherwise, you get tripped up on that robe and do one of these numbers, you know. And so, that's what they would do. Now, Peter here says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready for the race. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, I sure hope the Lord gives me his grace. I mean, I don't want to be left out and get stuck down here, right, Tim? I sure hope he gives me his grace. That's not what it's talking about. It's a sure thing. Again, the word here is elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O, E-L-P-I-Z-O, elpizo, which is to expect or confide. So you're starting to see, or at least I hope you're starting to see, that this word hope in the Bible is a very strong word. This is not iffy. We're not taking chances when we read this. We're not putting a quarter in a machine and pulling the handle, right, Ross? Huh? I've seen them do it. We used to go to take vacations over, where was it, Las Vegas, or a cheap vacation, get a room, and you go down in a casino, and they got all kinds of food down there and so forth, you know. So for us, it was a cheap vacation, so you get away for 2-3 days. I went down, I think it was Caesar's Palace, that's where it was. I went down into the lobby where all the machines were. In those days, they had machines with arms on them. You had to put the quarter in and then pull the arm and so forth. And here was all these older ladies down here feeding these machines, one after another, pulling a handle, going to the next machine, pulling the handle, next machine, put the quarter in, pulling the handle, so forth. And the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "You see all this? These ladies are paying for your vacation. You know what? It's the last time we did that, brother. That's the last time. Next time we pay full fare instead of doing that. Why? Because I don't want to be an accessory to somebody else's sin. That's why." "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope." That is, be confident, be expectant to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God didn't save me because I was a good guy. Did you know that? You may think I'm pretty neat. I don't know. No? She's shaking her head. No. You see that? No. That's not why God saved anybody. He didn't save me because I'm a good person. He saved me because he loved me and he paid for my sins. And I opened my heart to him and asked him to come in, 1969, September 13th. This lady right here led me to the Lord. So now I have expectancy and I have confidence that this grace that God is talking about, that Peter is talking about here, is coming. That's a different kind of grace. That's the grace that's going to end the whole thing down here. All right. Let's go to the next one. This is number 8. 1 Peter 1, chapter 3. Now we're gonna change the spelling on the word a little bit, okay? Instead of using that Z or Zeta in the Greek language, we're going to use just the S or Sigma in Greek. 1 Peter 1, 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living" what? "Hope." A living hope. By the way, if you take that phrase, living hope, how in the world can that be a chance? If it's a chance, if you're taking a chance on it, how is it alive? It's not alive. Living hope means it's there, man. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now the word here, again, a little different spelling. It's E-L-P-I-S, Elpis, Elpis. What does it mean? This time it means to anticipate with pleasure. To anticipate with pleasure. So we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. What does that do to your heart? How does that impact your thinking? How does that impact your heart when you think about it? All right, John? Yeah. We're going to leave all this stuff behind down here. I don't care, Democrats, Republicans, hooligans, I don't care what they are. The only thing that really matters is what they've done with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, because that's the only thing that will change their heart. And folks, it's a heart problem in everything that goes on today, everything. Again, I apologize for my voice tonight. So let's go to number 9 now. Number 9 here, Galatians 5:5. In Galatians 5:5, Paul says this, "For we through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Now again, what's the word? The word is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. What does that mean again? To anticipate with pleasure. Do you and I anticipate with pleasure the second coming of Jesus Christ? And Galatians 5:5 says, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Do we see that? Do we anticipate it? With pleasure. All right, number 10. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians 1, 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Again, the word is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. To anticipate with pleasure. Do we anticipate with pleasure in the eyes of our understanding being enlightened? That we may know what is the anticipation with pleasure of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Number 11. Colossians 1:23. Colossians 1:23. Here, Paul talks to the Colossian Christians here, churches in Colossae. If you then continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, of which I, Paul, am made a minister. Again, the word here is elpis, to anticipate with pleasure. There's nothing iffy about the Word of God's talking about hope. Nothing. There's no chance here. I hope if I'm a good boy that the Lord will do something for me, you know. Forget it. We live for him because we love him, because he first loved us. But I don't look to myself for anything. All right, number 12, Colossians 1, 27, same passage. Colossians 1, 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. Again, is he talking about a chance here? No. Again, the word is elpis, E-L-P-I-S, to anticipate with pleasure. You see the positivity of the Word of God here. God doesn't ask us to believe something that's iffy, that's chancy. No. We're to believe what he said is going to take place because it will happen. And I want you to come back to the last verse here that we started with, and that is Titus 2:13. And having gone through all of this, and I'm sorry if it's a little bit redundant, it's a little bit repetitious, I realize, to go through all of this. But what you need to do is go back. You have the understanding of the word used there and so forth. Go back and transpose a little bit. Put that in there, in that verse. And you have a richer meaning to the Word of God. So Titus 2:13 tells us, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The word, again, the final time, is elpis, E-L-P-I-S. Which means, what does that mean? What's elpis mean? Yeah, to anticipate, and yeah, right. Anticipate with pleasure. We anticipate God going to do this. And because we know he's going to do this, what do? We rest in it. We have confidence in him. We know it's going to come to pass. Now, does that mean it's going to happen in the next 5 minutes or 5 minutes ago? No. God has his own timetable to do things. We need to be patient and wait upon him. But because we know it's going to take place, we can have pleasure and confidence in the God that's going to bring it to pass. And that's the important thing about the whole thing. Now, I want to give you three things down here. We're going to go to prayer here in a little bit. We got a summary down here. I don't know. I think I put it on your sheet. Summary. There are three things there I want you to take note of when you read your Bible, when you study and so forth. And that is, number one, we use the context to determine the usage of the word hope. Now, I didn't have to go through all of this stuff tonight, folks. I didn't have to give you all these Greek words and so forth. Because if you know that you have a positive God that wrote the Word of God, then you have to also know that that word hope never means anything but positivity. Never means chance or something that's iffy. Or if you're a good enough person, it's going to take place or whatever. That's a lot of nonsense. God is positive, always positive. And so we have this first thing. We use the context to determine the usage of the word hope. Secondly, for the believer, biblical hope always looks to the future. You're not concerned as much with things going on right here because we know that the life on this earth is like this all the time, isn't it? It's a roller coaster. Some days it's good, some days you're down here in the muck and the mire and the swamp and all that, wishing you're up here. You get up here again on top of the mountain and you say, man, I don't need the Lord anymore. Everything's cool now, man. You know, it doesn't work like that, though. You're going to go down the other side of that mountain eventually. You're going to be down in the valley again. When we talk about hope for the believer, we're talking about everything that's future. We're not as concerned And when I say concerned, I mean bogged down. Let me put it to you this way. Never let anything or anyone rob you of the joy that God gives. Nothing and no one. That's a treasure that God gives to you. And that treasure is to be cherished. Hold it close to yourself. God has given me the joy of my salvation. God has given me the joy of forgiveness. God has given me the joy that I'm going to one day see Him face to face and be with Him in heaven and share His glory. Figure that one out. How do you share God's glory? I don't know, but the Word of God says we're going to be there and do it. And then the third thing wraps it up and everything, and that is that biblical hope is always sure, always sure. You're never taking a chance. Well, we hope this happens. We hope that, you know. The ladies say, I hope I don't burn my cookies. I haven't been in the oven too long. You know, that's iffy, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. But God's word is not iffy. God's word is sure, always sure. All right.